Welcome everyone to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call. I'm going to do a quick test to make sure that you guys can hear me okay. Let me ask the caller from area code 971. If you hear me okay, go ahead and say I hear you.
I hear you.
Hello, do you hear me? Call from area code 971.
Yes, I hear you.
Hello, welcome everyone to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call. Welcome everyone to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call. This is Payman Mutahede, the president of Freedom Law School. I'm going to do a quick test to see if you guys can hear me okay. It's a call from area code 971. Can you hear me okay? If so, please tell me that you hear me.
Yes, I can hear you okay.
Hello? A call from area code 971. Do you hear
me? Yes, I can hear you, okay. Can you hear me? Hello? Hello? Hello, hello? Hello?
Hello, I'm doing a little test to see if everybody hears me. Do you hear me? Call from area code 971. If so, please speak now. Tell me that you hear me.
Yes, I can hear you. Okay.
Call from area code 937. Do you hear me? If so, please say you do.
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Okay, folks, this is Paymont, the president of Freedom Law School. Do the test. Do you hear me? Call from area code 971. If so, please announce yourself that you hear me.
Yes, I can hear you. My name is G. I'm calling from Oregon. Hello? Hello, does anybody hear me?
Welcome everyone to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this October 12, 2017, this is Payman Mutahede, the founder and president of Freedom Law School. I'm going to do a quick test to make sure that you guys hear me okay on this call tonight. I'd like to ask the caller on the area code 971. If you hear me, please tell me that you hear me so I know that we're connected fine.
Yes, I can hear you.
Call from area code 971. If you hear me, please tell me you can hear me okay.
Yes, I can hear you okay. Yes, I can hear you okay. Can you hear me okay?
Okay, folks, I assume the call is going okay. I don't hear the call from area code 971 for some reason. How about the call from area code 937? If you do hear me, my friend, tell me you do hear me so I know that the call recording is going okay. Okay, how about the call from area code 516? If you hear me, please announce yourself now. 516.
Yes, Payman, I can hear you.
Do you hear me? If so, please announce yourself now.
Yes, I can.
Call from area code 516. Do you hear me? If so, please announce yourself that you hear me. Call from area code 971. Do you hear me? If so, please announce yourself now. Okay. Well, folks, Freedom Law School is dedicated to educate you about the law and your rights and how to live free of oppressive taxation and control. Something that is not taught in high schools or colleges across America, nor are they taught to you in universities and law schools. America was meant to be a free country. And why aren't we free? Because we're not taught about the law and our rights. Well, Freedom Law School is the education source for you, the solution for you to find the answers you're looking for, to understand how to live free of oppressive taxation and control, as well as provide you support and solutions to have you live free now. Because America was meant to be a free country, but we don't have a free country in America anymore because the deep state of big money, special interests from Wall Street and the business community has bought off the politicians, and through them, the executive branch of the government and the judicial branch of the government. And so the average person end up holding the bag. As Donald Trump says, we have a lot of the forgotten American man and woman. And we don't have the money to give the politicians to lobby them for this or that law or our interests. And so the solution of Freedom Law School is to educate you about how you can live free now, but understand the law and your rights. That's why Freedom Law School has many courses available at livefreenow.org. And that is why I have conference calls every Thursday night. I do my best and I will answer your Freedom Law questions. And folks, it works. It works if you put it to work. It's up to you to make it work because the tools are there provided to you by Freedom Law School. Tonight, I'm going to talk about a topic of the income tax, the hated federal income tax. Is it a direct or indirect tax according to the U.S. Constitution? I will address that issue tonight on this call. I want you to know at the end, it's your commitment to freedom, to live a free life, which is number one. If you have that commitment, you will find your way to freedom. And if you want it to be easy, all free, no work on your part at all, you will not get there. Because there's three things everybody wants in life. Everybody wants to be, get rich quick and easy. They want to be healthy quick and easy. They want to have the body of a beautiful, healthy athlete and disease and pain free until the end of their lives. And they want to be free, easy, without work or paying the price. But guess what? They all require work. They all require commitment and effort on your part. So if you're one of those people, Freedom Law School has all the tools you want and need to find the freedom that you're looking for, because Freedom Law School has been doing this for over 20 years, since 1996, educating and empowering American people like you to live free now. One of my students back in 1997 and on was an IRS special agent with IRS's own criminal investigation division. And this man, by talking to me and others in the tax honesty movement and doing his own homework and research verify that what we're saying about the income tax being a fraud is true, that there is no law that requires the average American to file and pay the federal income tax. He confronted his superiors in the IRS and the commissioner of the Internal Revenue Service by writing a letter to him and a book he wrote about the subject to refute. And no one at the IRS could refute anything he said, or they never showed up to any of the public debates that were set up by a nonprofit foundation called We the People Foundation for the government to debate Mr. Joseph Bannister, this former IRS criminal investigator, to argue about the legality of the income tax. And to this day, they fail and refuse in the IRS for the government to meet with Joe Bannister. His speech, folks, I'll send it to you for free. On a CD, you can listen to it in your car. Income tax fraud exposed. It's a great eye-opener. You can go on YouTube, type in Joseph Bannister, or go to our livefreenow.org website under educational materials. You'll see that and others from Tom Cryer and others about the income tax fraud. You've been enslaved. You've been robbed. You've been deceived, along with the rest of the American public. And the truth is going to be told to you through Freedom Law School. But you know what, folks? You don't have to take my word for anything. You can easily have it all be verified by yourself, because Freedom Law School shows you how easy it is to look up the laws in a law library or on the internet from the comfort of your own home, your own personal computer, laptop computer, tablet, smartphone. So you don't have to take the government's word or my word or that of anybody else out there. You can verify it and know the truth. And knowing the truth, folks, is the first step for you to living the free life. That's why, again, Freedom Law School is number one, always has it about education, and then taking informed action. So if you have not been to livefreenow.org, you want to do that, folks, and get our free freedom information package sent to you at no charge by mail, and also by email. You're going to get regular education sent you that way. If you're on Facebook, become a fan of Freedom Law School. On Facebook, we're going to send you material there. You'll see no place else on the internet, folks, because no other freedom organization ever in the history of the tax artist movement, going back all the way to World War II, has been as successful and stood the test of time, been around for as long as Freedom Law School, beating the IRS and winning ourselves, Freedom Law School, and our students. No organization. So you did the right thing by getting in touch with Freedom Law School. So I'm going to cover some fundamentals for you tonight about income tax. Let's go to the livefreenow.org website of Freedom Law School. And there, go to on the top right of the page on the educational materials. Smartphone, open up the menu that come up with educational materials. And then go all the way down to uncertainties of the income tax and click on that. And there you'll see the article called Uncertainties of the Income Tax by Larry B. Kraft, attorney. A friend of mine, his mid-60s, for over 35 years, is the most renowned constitutional freedom lawyer, tax expert in America. And this article of him goes strictly to the issue of direct versus indirect tax. So, folks, what is direct and indirect tax first? Direct tax is basically something that imposed on you directly. You cannot escape it. Why? Because it's imposed on you. If you were to be charged for every time you have a meal, that would be a direct tax. You know, because you cannot avoid having a meal. You have to have a meal to eat, food to eat, to survive. Or the income tax. If you make so much for livelihood, it taxes on you, you have to pay that. You cannot escape it. Indirect taxes can be easily avoided and are avoided. That's on activities. For example, gas tax, alcohol tax, tobacco tax, the alcohol tax, not buying alcohol. Avoid the gas tax. Don't buy gas. So indirect taxes in the U.S. Constitution are required to be uniform. A tax on a toll road, for example, on a bridge, that will be indirect tax because you don't have to use a road to get there. You can use a non-toll road to get where you want to go. So, but direct taxes will require to be apportioned among the several states. According to the census, an account of the census is called enumeration. In other words, the founding fathers of America wanted to restrain the federal government from growing and made it very difficult for the federal government to be able to impose a direct tax on the people, because they knew in time that entity would become an empire and take away rights of the people, would become too powerful. That's why those restrictions are in there. So, we're going to talk about what the Supreme Court said about income tax. And then, after talking about the Supreme Court, we're going to go to what the courts of appeal think about this issue. Because the Supreme Court really hasn't said much about income tax for a while. What I want you to do is on this webpage of Freedom Law School, you'll go down on the article, you skip the first two paragraphs, skip the two gray color paragraphs, and then next big paragraph, and read with me the paragraph that says to determine. Where it says to determine whether and to what extent there is any uncertainty or conflict of authority regarding the nature of the collective tax, because of a short review of the fundamental decisions concerning it. In 1894, Congress adopted the Income Tax Act, which was declared unconstitutional in Pollock versus Farmers Loan and Trust Company in 1895. The Pollock Court found that the income tax was a direct tax, which could only be imposed if the tax was apportioned. Since this tax was not apportioned, it was found unconstitutional. What happened there is that, folks, the tax on real estate, which was imposed, tax on real estate profits, like for rents. The Supreme Court said that the tax on the profit of the land is a tax on the land itself. And because it was a direct tax on the land itself, it has to be apportioned, the court said. So, the article continues. In an effort to circumvent this decision, the 16th Amendment was proposed by Congress in 1909 and allegedly ratified by the states in 1913. So, the 16th Amendment was to get around this issue and allow the taxation of real estate profits, taxation of the rich people. So, the article continues. Opinions arose regarding the legal effect of the amendment. Some factions contend that the 16th Amendment simply eliminated the apportionment requirement for one specific direct tax known as the income tax. While others asserted that the amendment simply withdrew it from the direct tax category and placed income tax in the indirect tax class. These competing contentions and interpretations were apparently resolved in Boucher versus Union Pacific Railroad Company in 1916. And rather than attempt a determination of what the court held in this case, it is more important to learn what various courts have subsequently declared Boucher to mean. The Boucher case is a very hard to read court case. Very convoluted language was used in there. So here, you know, other cases summarize a Boucher holding in a more plain language. So here we go. Back to the article. A little more than a week after the opinion in Boucher, similar issues were present for decision in Stanton versus Baltic Mining Company in 1916, which involved the question of whether an inadequate depletion allowance for mining company constituted a direct tax on the company's property. The 16th Amendment authorized only an exceptional direct income tax without apportionment. The court rejected it by saying that this contention manifestly disregards the fact that by the previous ruling, it was settled that the provisions of the 16th Amendment conferred no new power of taxation. This is very important, folks. No new power of taxation, folks, was created by the 16th Amendment. That's the key point, folks, I want you to remember, okay? That there was no new power of taxation was given to the federal government. But simply prohibited the previous complete and plenary power of income taxation. Plenary means complete, basically. Possessed by Congress from the beginning, from being taken out of the category of indirect taxation, to which it inherently belonged, and being placed in the category of direct taxation. So basically, 16th Amendment just basically reaffirmed that income, the court clearly held that income taxes inherently belong to the indirect / excise tax class, but had been converted by Pollack Supreme Court case to direct taxes by considering the source of the income. The source of income, the rental profits of the real estate should not have been considered by the Supreme Court. That's what this case was about. That's what the 16th Amendment was about. The 16th Amendment merely banished the rule in Pollack. See, so you can tax the profits of real estate, okay, or profits of the corporation without taxing the entity, the land, the corporation itself. Next paragraph. However, the victory of defining what the 16th Amendment meant was short-lived, and later decisions commenced a course which appears to have changed the meaning of Boucher, or at least provided fertile grounds for an entirely different and opposite construction of it. In William E. Peck and Company versus Lowe in 1918, which involved a tax imposed on export earnings, the court seemed to indicate that what was accomplished by the amendment was the elimination of the apportionment requirement for the direct tax known as income tax, an argument rejected in Baltic. And here's a quote. The 16th Amendment, although referred to it as an argument, has no real bearing and may be put out of view. As pointed out in recent decisions, it does not extend the taxing power to new or accepted subjects. but merely remove all locations which otherwise might exist for an apportionment among the states of taxes laid on income, whether it be derived from one source or another. The drift away from the position of the court that income tax via the 16th Amendment fell within the excise category and became more pronounced in the decision in Eisner versus McCumber in 1920, which involved the application of this tax to a stock dividend, a company stock dividend. Here, the court plainly stated that many lawyers and some judges today think for the count by means of this amendment. The elimination of the apportionment requirement for the direct tax known as the income tax. In deciding this case, the court quoted the amendment and then redeclared its meaning. Had repeatedly held this amendment, I mean the 16th Amendment, did not extend the taxing power to new subjects, but merely remove the necessity which otherwise might exist for an apportionment among the states of taxes laid on income. Bruschaper, 252 U.S. at page 206. A proper regard for its genesis, as well as its very clear language, requires also that this amendment shall not be extended by loose construction so as to repeal or modify, except as applied to income, those provisions of the Constitution require an apportionment according to population for direct taxes upon property, real, and personal. Is this the resurfacing of the argument that the 16th Amendment authorized only an acceptable direct income tax without apportionment condemned in Baltic? From the study of Bruschaber, it is thus possible for someone to rely upon those portions of the two phrases at the beginning and ending of 240 U.S. 19 to believe that authorized only an exceptional direct income tax without apportionment. If one fell into that error, this belief would be magnified by the above highlighted portions of Eisner. So confusion abounds as to the correct interpretation of Bruschaber. And this is obvious because various courts of this nation have relied upon this line of authority to reach diametrically opposing results. This is, folks, where it gets interesting. Because the courts disagree now with themselves. The state courts have been particularly split over the nature of the income tax and whether it constitutes a direct property tax or an indirect excise, which is not imposed on property. And you see a bunch of state court cases from various states who disagree on the nature of the income tax. So after that big long paragraph for the state cases, you will go to the next big paragraph that says the split of authority evident within the state cases also manifests itself in the federal appellate courts. For example, in the First Circuit, at the federal First Circuit Court of Appeal, because there's 12 different courts of appeal, and the First Circuit is one of them. The meaning of the 16th Amendment, because the United States versus Toronto in 1986, the court held that the 16th Amendment eliminated the indirect direct distinction as applied to taxes on income. Next door, in the Second Circuit Court of Appeal, there is uncertainty revealed by three completely inconsistent cases. The Supreme Court of Appeal, folks, said three different decisions on the issue of income tax being direct or indirect. In Jandorf's estate versus commissioner, it should be noted that the estate or inheritance taxes are excised, while certain taxes, excess profit and war profits taxes, are direct property taxes. Certain taxes are the graduated taxes of the income tax. So this court holds that the personal income tax is a direct tax. But in Ficalora versus commissioner in 1984, that court stated that the personal income tax was an indirect tax. Quoting, the Supreme Court explicitly stated that taxes on income from one's employment are the apportionment. However, compare United States versus Sitka in 1998, which referred to Osiris Parker, for the proposition that the tax is a direct tax. Now, in the Third Circuit, another court of appeal, it has been held in one case that all income taxes are direct, but another that only some are direct. And that's why the court case is Keith B. and Madison versus B. Rofensky in 1943. An income tax is a direct tax upon income therein defined. And mutual indemnity versus commissioner in 1960, it says that Pollock only held that a tax on income derived from real or personal property was so close to a tax on that property that it could not be imposed without a portion of that. The amendment removed all that barrier. In the remainder of the circuit, the difference of opinion as to whether the personal income tax is a direct or an indirect tax is likewise as profound and confusing. In the Fourth and Sixth Circuits, income tax has been held to be an excise tax. The White Packing Company versus Robertson in 1937. The tax is, of course, an excise tax, as are all taxes on income. And the United Sixth Circuit in 1992 stated that Bushaver and the congressional record excerpts do indeed state that for the constitutional purposes, the income tax is an excise tax. However, in the Fifth, Seventh, Eighth, and Tenth Circuits Courts of Appeal, arguments that this tax is an excise have been squarely rejected and determined to be frivolous. Folks, you can read the rest of the article for yourself, but I think we made the point here as it is. And the point is this: the courts of appeal, are completely divided, the federal courts of appeal, on is income tax direct, indirect. Some say direct, some say indirect, and sometimes the same court of appeal has decisions saying that tax is direct, and other ones saying that it is indirect. It is crazy, folks. These courts are not upholding the law. They're not being consistent. The law is supposed to be very consistent and clear. For example, murder is wrong. We all know that consistently. Murder is wrong. Although self-defense is something different. It's okay. We all know that too. Rape is wrong. Stealing is wrong. Law is supposed to be very clear and very definite and certain. But when it comes to income tax, it seems like the courts of appeal, the only thing they agree on is that you have to pay. You have to file as a slave. Whether it's direct or indirect, the courts say what they want to say. And at the end, you have to pay. So practically, unfortunately, the Constitution taxing clauses has been trash canned by the Federal Courts of Appeal. I call this the conspiracy, the judicial conspiracy, to protect and preserve the federal income tax. No government paid by its judge has ever ruled or will rule that the income tax is a giant fraud on the American people. That has been used to enslave American people in violation of the U.S. Constitution. Although the courts disagree which part of the Constitution limits the income tax application to the American people, they all agree we just got to pay it and that's it. Don't ask any more questions. It doesn't matter. This is the deep state, the crooked government, out of control government. The mentality of people in government is we got to keep this going, otherwise the big government will not have as much money to spend. And that's the problem. We lost the control of our government, folks. We got to get it back. And you see Donald Trump running squarely in the face of the deep state. He does not even control of his own Justice Department. They appoint somebody to investigate Donald Trump himself, which is ridiculous. Because he's the chief, head of the federal government's Department of Justice himself. So folks, this conspiracy to protect and preserve the income tax has been going on since World War II ended. The first person to challenge the income tax was Lane Vivian Kellum, K-E-L-L-U-M. A business owner who refused to withhold and pay his people as an unpaid tax collector for the government. Then a general contractor named A.J. Porth, P-O-O-R-T-H, started educating Americans that to give up your right to be silent as guaranteed by the Fifth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. When you fill out a 1040 income tax confession form, misnamed the return. And then after A.J. Porth, many others came throughout the 60s and 70s. Herbert Schiff was one of those in the 1970s got going on this issue. Bill Drexler, okay, and A.J. Porth and others. They were the pioneers of this fight for the truth in taxation. And so the solution to this problem is twofold. First of all, you got to confront the government about the law. And I mean the government at its source level, the legislative branch. They're the ones that write the laws. The laws in the books that say that you cannot go and get your tax issue resolved by the courts. That's right. Basically, you have a right to go to federal courts and have any of your concerns and questions answered by federal court. Except taxes. That's right. You cannot go to federal courts and get a judgment about your. So you cannot go to the IRS or the courts, you go to the legislature and confront them. And that's why you see at Freedom Law School, I have a solution for you. Go to livefreenow.org one more time. In the window, on the education materials, menu on the top right on that menu, go to education materials once again. and go down to Educate Congress and click on that, and you'll see on this page, folks, like I said before, and I say again, you should download this information and send it to your congressman, your two senators, your House Representative member, all are combined congressmen, and confront them about all this, about legality and income tax issue. If they can refute Joe Bannister, his conclusions about the income tax, and the People Foundation and the other experts that they brought together to debate the government about the income tax, if they can show them they're wrong and show you the law that requires you to file income tax, go ahead and pay income tax and file. If they cannot do so, why should you file and pay? Why should you file and pay for tax that you're not legally obliged to pay? Just because the politicians, the deep state, the crooked people that don't serve the American people anymore, who have taken over our government, are breaking and violating the U.S. Constitution and law. So, folks, by doing that, let me tell you something. You do two things. Number one, they will never want to take you before a jury and put you in prison. Never. They wait for the law school to recommend. Because you'll be able to take all of this before the jury of 12 American citizens who will be judging you and your actions. Will be judging your guilt or innocence. And they will be educated by you about this quest to get the government to answer you, answer Joe Bannister, answer Willie People Foundation, and show you the law that requires you to file income tax. And how they're failing and refusing to answer you, because obviously they cannot. Otherwise they would. It would be so easy. They have all these lawyers at their disposal. That's true, they could have, you know, there's a few clerks or lawyers that had the refuse you, but they can't. That's what they don't do it. So you won't have to worry about going to prison, folks, by having to stop filing and paying income tax if you properly confront it on this page. It's also part of our royal fear package, civil fear package, and beginner's fear package. Okay, with those packages to show you, go on top of our page. And the drop down menu on the middle, drop down menu, the second one, middle row, course packages. Okay, click on that, on course packages, and you see the packages come up. The top of the packages are Royal, Simple, and Beginner's Fear Package, all three through this program will be done by you. I mean, for you, I should say. So, the other angle, as I said, is that you are, that you have a right to, you have a duty as an American, guaranteed by the First Amendment, your right for a redress of grievances that you have under the First Amendment. If you have a complaint, they should hear you. You could talk to them, ask them questions. Then you could not be punished. You cannot be punished for asking questions of government, asking the legislature to do this or do that. You have a right to ask anything of your legislature. They should guide you. That's their job. They're supposed to represent you. They're supposed to communicate with you. So it is our right and duty to do so, and you should, every one of you, do it. Now, I know some of you will say, well, they just ignore our letters. These politicians are too busy collecting money from rich, powerful special interests, from the big banks on Wall Street, big corporations, military industrial complex. And they're not going to pay attention to our letter, ignore it. I understand what you're saying. I totally get it. How corrupt our system has become. That these politicians are so busy raising money for their own re-election campaign that they do not pay attention to the letters and concerns of the constituents, like you, that brings to their attention serious legal constitutional freedom issues that relate to all Americans' rights and freedoms and property, like income tax. I understand that. But it doesn't matter. That's our right. That's our duty. Nobody can stop you, and you should do it. And eventually, more of us do it, you'll start seeing a few representatives in government start taking notice. A few honest ones will pay attention. And we've had on it, good looking at folks. He knows about the income tax scam. He knew. Congressman late Jim Trafficking. He found out about income tax fraud after, of course, he was out the Congress, unfortunately. He learned it through Peter Moss and others. But there are a few in the past, I can tell you, that have known about it. And when we get more of these guys on the ball on this issue, the trend is going to start changing. They will realize that the American people are waking up. Maybe to throw out the rascals, they can get some honest people in there who will do it right, live by the Constitution, the oath they take, and get our government back. So we can have it quick. You gotta do it. So, in summary, by doing this process, folks, you're protecting yourself now, not following the payment tax, but directly confronting the lawmakers on this issue, and at the same time, the dual purpose, the bigger purpose, is to get our government back to its roots of following the language and intent constitution and laws. So I hope, folks, you do this, folks. Get those education materials that I showed you on the Educate Congress, educate yourself first, folks. Read it, take a little time, and you see all those downloads. There's a cover letter. With your subpoena letter, you see that on the downloads and attached documents and videos. Put them on a DVD, download them on a DVD, send to congressman, turn out the paperwork, send it to them. And folks, let Peter Lawson know about what you're doing. We appreciate you becoming an active citizen, trying to get our country back. We got right now for Donald Trump as president. And you know what? 5 years ago, Congressman Ron Paul was denied the nomination of the Republican Party by the crooked establishment. The media ignored him. The crooked Republican establishment used every dirty trick in the book. Because Romney was another typical politician, crook whore, money whore, power whore. And Ron Paul was a real deal, and everybody knew it. They stopped Ron Paul from becoming a Republican nominee. He rightly was on track to become that by cheating every way they could have ever at the state conventions, every level. The media went on again, of course. And then, if Ron Paul would have won, you know he would have beat Obama. The same way Trump beat Hillary. But no, they stopped him. But last year we got Trump. And American people rejected all of the establishment Republican candidates, even Rand Paul, Ron Paul's son, which I supported. They just want somebody from the outside to clean up the corrupt, crooked Washington, D.C. swamp of slimy, creepy, evil creatures called politicians to wreck that house and do it clean. In Florida, where we had our own senator, Mark Rubio, running against Trump and a couple other candidates. In fact, they're spending millions in advertising against Trump on TV and on flyers in the mail. Donald Trump got 54% of the votes when the local senator was running, Rubio. He just trashed local Senator Rubio. And went to become Republican nominee, and he was unstoppable, and he beat the crooked Chillery, Rockton, Bloomington. And they stay present. As you see, the deep state is fighting hard. Establishment is fighting hard to resist Donald Trump. Anyone that can pick on anything he says, the Mr. Stewart, twist it out of this reality to make him look bad, they do. Any way they can lie, they do. The media is controlled by the Wall Street banksters too. Washington Post, New York Times, all the major papers in this country, owned by a small group of newspaper publishers. CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC. These guys are all owned by the same group of people. Even Fox is owned by them, but Fox is the only one that tries to be actually, unbiased. The only one. The rest, just any way they can to twist things out of proportion. I don't even watch those CNN those things. I watch maybe a couple Fox shows, Tucker and Sean Hannity. Basically, they do a decent job at least giving you some good input about what's going on out there. But we got to get this country back. Look what happened to Senator John McCain. That crook was going to be he was the nominee of the Republican Party 8 years ago, running against Obama. And he voted to keep Republican against Obamacare back in any more than the chief. It just shows you how much the establishment is in power. So 2018, folks, we're going to get rid of these crooked Republicans and many of the crooked Democrats and get some real constitutional patriots in office, like an Alabama judge, Roy Moore, trashed establishment candidate, 56% to 44%. That's just trashing the other guy. That's not beating him. It's just trashing him. Not even close, even though the judgment was outspent like about 10 to 1 by the establishment Republicans. So, folks, we are on a track. Don't give up through this process. Protect yourself and your family now. Do it yourself. It's on their livefreedom.org website at Freedom Law School, or get the Freedom Law School with a beginner's fear package, simple fear package, or the royal fear package. Now, if you get the royal fear package, all the letters of response will be done for you. With other issues you got with the IRS that will come up. Simple. And royal fear package give you unlimited consultation as well as planning to make sure you stay out of trouble, which is very important. Keep you peace of mind. And a criminal legal defense fund, just in case you're targeted. So, folks, it's all there. We have choices to make. But the one choice that you should have made already is to take action. And I invite you to take action now. Tonight, this weekend, go re-educate Congress Park. Educate yourself and commit to educating Congress about the income tax issue. Starts with you. So let's take action. Let's have it be free now. Okay, folks, I'm going to go and ask your questions because I do my best every Thursday night to help people live free. Now, I'm available for private one-on-one paid consultation as well, but I try to help you free on these calls as much as possible. If you have a question, push 1 on your telephone keypad. That will let me know you have a question. And when your turn comes, I'll answer your question. Right now, we have a question from call from area code 702 from Las Vegas and one from area code 937. By the way, before you ask the question, folks, I want you to know it's a public call. So anybody, including a government or IRS agent, could be recording this call and using it against you. So therefore, I don't want to know your first day. I mean, your last day. Your first day is fine. Well, do not tell me your first name. I'm sorry, your last name. First name is enough. And tell me what city you're calling from. And how did you hear about Freedom Law School? We'd like to have that feedback. And then your question. Maintain your privacy. So remember, first name only. What city you're calling from. How you hear about Freedom Law School. And then what's your question? So with that, let's go with the call from area code 702. If you have a question, call from area code 702. Please go ahead and announce yourself now.
Hello. This is Greg. Did you say from area code 702?
I'm hearing you, my friend. From area code 702. Let me see. Maybe it's a problem. Maybe on my end. Okay, let's see how we can get this problem solved. One moment, please, guys. I want to take a short break. I'll be right back. See if I can solve the audio problem. May not hear you guys.
Yeah, it's been a little scratchy on my phone. I thought maybe it might be the number of people calling in. I don't know.
Okay, let's try again. Call from Erico 702. Go ahead and announce yourself.
Yes, hello.
Can you hear me? Call from Erico 702.
Okay, this is Greg from Erico 702.
Okay, folks, I'm having trouble hearing you guys. I apologize to those of you that have questions. What's going on? I cannot hear you. Which is why earlier I tried to get you guys to let me know if you can hear me. Currently, we tested. You guys do hear me, but for some reason I did not hear you. So for that reason, I want to apologize to you guys for this problem in our system. And I'm going to try one more time to see if I can fix this problem. We just did something. Maybe that will help. If that doesn't work, folks, call your boss tomorrow at the building 702 and 937. I will arrange for some to get your question answered some other way for you guys right away. Are you there?
Hello? Can you hear me now?
Okay. I'm sorry, but I don't hear you right now. So let me say goodnight to all of you folks. And I'm going to test it one more time. And with another call, see what's going on. To see why I'm not able to hear you guys. Just hang there. See if you can solve this problem. I'm going to answer the question. The call area code 352. See if I can hear the call for 352. Okay, Erica, number 352. Go to the talk to see if I can hear you.
Hello? Can you hear me?
No, call for 352. Can I hear you? Try again. Are you there? No, I don't hear you. Call for 352. Okay. All right, folks. I'm going to bid you all good night. Call me back. Area code 702 or 937, folks. Hold on, I'm going to try one more thing. Okay, one more time, guys. Are you there? Are you there? Okay, let's try my call for me for 702.
I can't make out what you're saying.
If you can better now.
Yeah, only a little bit. It's kind of scratchy and garbled a little bit. Can you hear my voice?
Yes, I can hear you good.
This is Greg from 702.
Greg, is it better right now?
It's a little better. Try that again.
Test something. I'll be right back. One moment, please.
Thank you. I'll hold.
Okay, folks, let's try one more time. Do you hear me now, Greg?
Oh, that's a lot better, Payman. You're coming in a lot clearer. It was scratchy before.
Okay. All right. How about when I was talking about the subject of the conference call? Could you hear me okay then?
Well, I didn't want to interrupt, but it was kind of very scratchy, but I could make out, I'd say about maybe two-thirds or three-quarters of the words, but, you know, maybe 80% of the words. I could get a gist of what you were saying, but it was like scratchy. It was almost like, you know, like a shortwave radio. Somebody's out to sea, and they're trying to make contact with somebody. It wasn't really clear, but I could make out a lot of the words you were saying.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry about that, folks. We're going to work on our technology department, make that better. So with that, folks, said Greg, thank you for your call, my friend. And how may I be of assistance to you?
I don't know. Payman, I know you have a lot of different people you talk to, but I talked to you maybe a week or two ago about the fact that I, 8.5 years ago, had sent in for my registration decal from the Department of Motor Vehicles. I won't say what state, but they had concocted a scheme that basically was intended to prevent a certain small percentage. Of course, you know, when you consider the population of the state, that's up into the thousands or more, you know, tens of thousands, perhaps, of people who did not get their paid registration decals. And it was, I feel, concocted to generate a lot of revenue for not only the DMV.
Hold on. Greg. I got people waiting with some serious issues. I talked to you privately at length at no charge.
Oh, okay.
At no charge. So let's get to the point of view because I've been waiting, okay? Let me tell you what's wrong with your situation and your attitude because I already know what's going on with you. You live in Nevada. You're very low income. You're on, basically, I think, disability income, something like that. You have a car worth maybe $500 or $1,000. And in Nevada, they carjacked your car. They stole it for lack of registration or something of that sort. And he asked me what to do about it, right? That's the basics of it, right?
Yeah, and I did get it out of impound.
Hold on. I'm going to give this call is not just for you. It's for them. I want
them
to learn from your question, okay? Every time I ask someone's question, folks, to help that person and for the rest of you to learn also. So I have an answer for myself, you know, because my volunteers were not the answer phone. They were sick. So you got to be on the phone, on the fly, and I'd spend a bunch of time with you. And the summary of the situation is this. Your car, at one point, he said was worth only $300. Then he said it was only worth $500. He's trying to get it out. You know, well, before I known how much your car was so cheap in value, it was almost worthless. I told you, well, I know about this issue a lot in California. I may be able to help you with Nevada. If something's wrong, maybe I can help you. But I don't know without seeing some paperwork. Without paperwork, I cannot tell you. I'm not a magician. No more than you can expect your doctor to fix you without you going for a visit for in-person testing.
Okay.
So, but then once the car, and I told you, maybe you want to pay me for 1 hour perhaps to check it out or forget about it. Then when he told me that your car is only worth a few hundred dollars, I suggested very likely you probably just want to forget about it because you never learned in the law. Okay, you admit that you're not Mr. High IQ either. You don't know a lot about, hardly know about the law, okay? And I don't know Nevada law like I know California federal law. I'll do some work to figure out what's going on. It's just not worth your time and my time and your money to fight this thing. When you're very low income, you have no money to fight this. And I said, you're probably better off just to move on.
Well, was the backup vehicle I was driving because my main vehicle, it's an older sports car, is worth about maybe $3,000. That's the one I have not gotten the paid registration decal. They refused for the last 8.5 years to send me what I paid for, and they simply refused. And I it's still sitting in my driveway with expired plates from 2009 to 2010. But
why,
again,
why
I'll...
Why are they not giving you, but you want to pay them? What's the excuse for not giving you plates for your car? Why?
They claim that it was not their fault that they had a glitch in their outgoing mail addressing system, that once it leaves the registration department at the DMV, it goes through the state's mail room. They are no longer responsible.
For what? Responsible but, for what? You know, you've been
responsible.
Vague. Be clear. For what happened that they're not responsible for?
Well, see, it was the fact that it's not that they, like to quote one supervisor, he leveled with me and said, it's not that they couldn't send you your paid registration decal, it's that they wouldn't. They concocted the scheme intentionally.
What
to,
is the Greg, stop. You keep saying as if I know you inside your head. You got to tell me what specifically are they saying they sent you, you didn't get it. Well, you're being very vague. Give me specifically what are they saying is the problem. You're not telling me. Tell me
okay.
specifically what's the problem. That they say
they,
friends, I can help you.
They said that they're no longer, how do I say this? They're no longer responsible, and
for
I'm
what? For what?
For the registration decal because.
Wait, stop. I don't get it. It doesn't matter. So the car wasn't registered since 2009 and 10. It doesn't matter. You walk in right now, this car hasn't been registered, it's been sitting in the driveway for 7 years. Okay, so what? Who cares? Doesn't matter. You walk in right now in 2017, you want to register it right now. You pay for the registration fees for 2017, and that's it. What, they will do that or not, and if not, so why don't they take the money to register it for now, for year 17?
But I guess my point, or the problem resulted when I
stop.
Didn't...
Stop. Answer my question. Will they register your car for 2017 right now, and what they tell you, why not? Because they just want your money. You have a car in Nevada. You want to register it. Here's the money. I'll pay the fees. Here's the paperwork. What does the past have to do with right now in 17?
Because they... I did not want to cough up $450 in extortion money back in 2010 because I had
for
been
what?
Parked at park
for, what?
For parking
what?
Tickets.
Oh,
it was, I was parked.
Okay, I got it. So now you're telling me what you've been avoiding telling me. See, guys.
Well,
Okay, you
sorry
about
that.
Is, listen, let me. You had a bunch of parking tickets way back that you didn't pay because of that decision. We will not renew your registration until you pay the parking tickets from the past. You haven't paid them, so I'm going to renew the registration.
Well, they had offered to help. That is one of their people that was not involved with creating.
Stop. What do you mean offered to help? Come on, Greg. Are you thinking? What do you mean offered to help? They don't need your help. For you to offer your help? Are you hearing? Listen to what you're saying.
No, they offered to help me get it back. There was a representative at the DMV who tried to get a three-way call between me and the DMV and the Las Vegas Parking Department.
Okay.
And during that time is when fees increased. Now, a few months into this...
The parking department did not give up. They said, no... We want that money, DMV. Please go. Keep your money out of them.
Yeah, it seemed like the...
So what you got to do is two choices, my friend. Very simple. Either pay those tickets and the fee and the penalty, or sell the car and get another car with that money. That's it. Why do you sit in a situation stuck in the mud when you got either...
Because...
Either swim or do something else.
When I went to pay, and the lady who was a supervisor at a different branch who was very ethical and honest, and she felt that I shouldn't have to pay, she said, you know, I know the head of the parking department personally, because I've dealt with her for years, and I'll email her. When I got the email response back from that supervisor saying that the head of the parking department would not budge, that's when I knew it was corruption. And maybe it was the fact that I had just 3 years prior.
Stop. I don't want to hear it. I know they're corrupt. You act like, oh, you found some corruption. Oh, big deal. The whole government is corrupt, my friend. You act like you're the only one being raped out there. Wrongful. Yeah, they're corrupt. Yeah, got it. Come on. I've been thrown in jail illegally and I have to get myself out. They just corrupt judges who I was fighting. Okay, so you found some corruption. Doesn't matter. Irrelevant. So it's corruption. We know that. You're preaching the choir.
But just like,
the issue is to solve your problem, Greg. You want to cry about it. Go a bunch on the street, cry over their ears, tell your story, take all day. But with me, I'm a solution provider. I solve problems. I don't sit here and just be a nice listening ear.
I know you're very pragmatic. I appreciate that.
Yeah, I'm gonna get solutions for you. So, bottom line is this, my friend, in your situation is this. Simple. You gotta do it or get off the pot, they say. Pay those whatever they want from you to get the car registered, or sell the car and get another car. Okay? Or sell the car to your friend. And then you can make you drive your friend's car. You know, and he lets you use his car. You can do that too. You know, that's between you being you and your friend. You can do stuff like that. But you know, this parking situation is still because you're not originally correctly challenge those parking tickets and beat them, it's a judgment they got against you wrongfully. It happens, unfortunately. It happens. All people go to life in jail wrongfully. They were executed wrongfully out there. Wrongfully. You were by the parking ticket, you were wrongfully convicted or you were not there, you didn't probably challenge them. Come on, don't waste your time and everybody else is on that. Okay? So here's what I'm going to say. I'm going to go to call from area code 937, who's been waiting to get his question answered. I'm going to get to him, my friend. On this situation,
okay.
I'm going to say, look, I've already given the answer for you for free, cheap. That's the best thing to do. Okay?
Okay. That's good.
That's all it is. You know, you don't pay me for 1 hour consultation unless you want to do it privately, or maybe half hour for 120 I charge cash. But I give the answer. The solution is sell it to a stranger, sell it to a friend, and let you drive the car, or pay whatever they want to get the car registered, my friend, and put this behind you and focus on the rest of your life. Be more productive and happy. Okay, not be stuck
I
in
guess,
the mud of the situation, okay?
And I'll finish off by saying that just like I succeeded in the case of conspiracy to commit fraud that was perpetrated against my 80-year-old mother at the time, and I beat the CEO and his law firm, I felt that if I stick with it long enough, can get the restitution because that cost me tens of thousands of dollars, and I lost my rental home to foreclosure and also 3 trips to jail, which meant bail, impound fees, and I lost my 813 FICO score because I kept thinking that by contacting various representatives et cetera.
Okay,
but
Hold on. You don't need to tell me about your story. I know you got a story that treated you horribly. I understand that. I got it. What I'm saying is that you're a perfect example of why you should have been a Freedom Law School student. At the minimum, have a very first course called A Practical Road to Freedom from Oppressive Taxation and Control Level 1. You should have had that course. So you know,
I wish I'd known. I wish I'd known about your school prior to this just past July when I learned about your school.
So do I. But guess what? How old are you? How old are you, Greg?
60.
You're not that old. I'm 55. So better late than never. Get the course now. Learn so it won't happen to you again later this year, next year, or in the future.
Well, I am interested in that, and I'll talk to you about that separately. I think I'll go for the half hour. I'll call you back tomorrow maybe, and we'll talk.
No, it doesn't work that way. No, you happen to get on the phone that day. I talked to you for a while. You're a nice guy. You don't have any. You send 120 cash in the mail, my friend, and I'll take that full half hour with you. Send me any paper you got with it. That would be very helpful for me to help you. DMV, whatever you got. So I'll do it all for you efficiently and give you some direction, my friend. But without the paper, you're going to be hamstrung me. Okay?
Yeah, I had emailed a potential letter that I was going to send the director, but I didn't mention that prior to today's call, or remind you prior to today's call. What I can do, I can put 120 in an envelope, and I just want to make sure I have your mailing address, because I'll put that in the mail, which will go out, I guess it'll go out tomorrow.
Live39.org, it's there. It's on our website.
Okay, I'll get that address, and I'll put, and then that way you'll get the cash maybe next Monday or probably Tuesday, and then when you get that, you can call me or I'll call you on Tuesday just to see if you've gotten it, and then we can go from there. Okay?
No problem. You got it, my friend. No problem.
Thank you so much, and I'll send paperwork in the meantime. Thank you so much, Payman, and have a great day.
Same with you, my friend. Thank you for calling, Greg.
Thank you very much.
Call from area code 937. Call from America 937. You're live with Paymon, the president of the law school. If you have a question, please announce your first name first.
Hi, Paymon. This is Christopher.
Hello, Christopher. What city did you call from?
Ohio.
Ohio. And how did you hear about Freedom Law School?
On your website.
How did you get to our website, though?
Fell down the rabbit hole a long time ago. I was following this in the late 90s, and then in 2001, I became disabled. And I was a firefighter, got hurt at work, and then been on disability ever since. So.
Okay, well, how may I assist you, my friend?
Right now, I'm participating in that Ticket to Work program that they have, where they allow you to work for that. It's called the Ticket to Work.
Okay.
Where they allow you to, where you get yourself a bit better, and they allow you to work a little bit.
Okay.
So I kind of have two things. One, I received a nod that somehow I let go, and then I got a CP22A.
I don't know what that number means. What does the letter say? Was hanging on the top left, it says.
City of Missouri, on the top right-hand corner, it says a notice, CP22A, for the tax year 2015, and they want more money than, they're adding more money to the NOD. So,
what
NOD,
is hitting the big print on the top half of the page, what does it say?
Mountain Dew.
A Mountain Dew. Okay, so the notice of deficiency, you got the tax proposal letter of the IRS. You did not challenge in a tax court, so therefore is due, right?
Yes, and by the time, I looked at slip and I screwed that up, so.
Okay. So what's your question, my friend, about that issue, Christopher?
Okay, so the CP, that's just another letter that they're sending me where they've actually readjusted. They did a decrease in credit and an increase in interest.
Mm-hmm.
But it says that I owe $657, not $810. And then the numbers are all wrong.
Well, you could challenge all that later on. You challenge that later on at the collection due process hearing stage.
Okay, so this is just, what do I do with this letter? Do I ask for a collection due process, or do I? They just want money by October 16th.
You cannot ask for a hearing until the court gives it to you. Until the IRS sends you a letter that says you have a right to a hearing. So that will be another from where you are right now, another 4 to a year from now, or maybe longer. So at this point, there's nothing you can do to challenge it. At that point, you have a chance to challenge it.
Okay, so I don't do anything? Do I contact them, or?
The only thing you can do at this point is to pay them. If you want to pay them, go ahead. Other than that, you cannot do anything.
Until they send me a letter saying I have to see the judge, basically.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do right now.
Okay. So I can make a, okay, so if I actually start paying it and I get into a payment plan, I don't know how
you
that works.
You start paying a payment anytime. They'll take your money anytime you want. You can make a payment anytime you want.
So then later do I get to go contest that later, or is it kind of done and over with?
Say it again.
Do I get a chance, if I pay it now, do I get a chance to contest it later?
You'll get a
contest later.
Or is
it kind of done and over with?
Not now. You cannot challenge it right now.
Yes, I understand that. So do I just wait for the next letter that says I have to appear in court?
You get a letter that'll give you a right to hearing with the IRS's appeal office, not in court. You will get a letter, could be 4 months from now, a year from now, or 8 years, 9 years from now. I don't know.
Okay.
But until then, they cannot take your money in any way. So when they do send a letter to you, they either want to take your money with a levy, your bank account or check or something, or they file the tax lien against you in the county records office. That's what they want to do. Okay? But at either of those occasions, at that point, you'll have the opportunity to challenge them.
So I wait till then?
Because legally, you're not allowed to challenge them. That's just the way Congress wrote the law. Because then they don't want anybody to stop by and bug the IRS with this or that question. You cannot challenge the tax legally until then.
Got it. So the only thing I can do now is to sit back and wait for that letter.
Yep. At this point, yes.
Okay. And then my second thing is I have this weird opportunity at work where I work for a park service, and the park doesn't do their own checks. The county takes care of their checks. And I've been down to the county to stop them just taking my tax money out, but they won't stop. They told me I need to get some kind of letter from the IRS says that I don't have to pay it. Even though I presented the law to them, they won't, you know, the 7701 and everything, they don't care. So work has the opportunity of starting to do this, and I'm trying to give them the information that says they don't have to take money out of our check. However, I don't know how to present it correctly. What do you do with people who don't believe?
Christopher, I've been very, very busy. Because one of the things I want to do is exactly what you said. Put a for people to use, well, you do this. And they tell you no, you do that. And then you do the other. But I'll tell you what, everything I'm going to be doing will include you contacting your congressman and confronting them about the legality of income tax anyhow. So go ahead and do that part now. Because you need to do that. Because if you stop, they withhold from your paycheck, potentially they could try to charge you with tax evasion because you stopped the so-called automatic withholding, the way they see it.
Okay.
And they're going to convince the average juror that pays their fair share of taxes that you didn't pay your fair share of taxes, so you evaded taxes. So that's why you got to make sure you have your defense laid out ahead of time. The reason you're doing this thing is not to evade anything, but pay all the lawful taxes you owe. So write to Congressman about this and get a straight answer for them, or they're not answering. So if they do want to come after you, they won't, because they see you have done your homework ahead of time.
Yeah.
Confronting the legislature about the law. And they don't want the jury to be seeing that educated, and you win and they lose, and you big embarrassment for them. They will leave you alone and go to some other uneducated, unprepared sap. Another sheep was unprepared. You might be one of those prepared sheep. Who's no longer sheep. You're smart now. what I was like, what area?
Trying to be.
Educate yourself, educate Congress part, get that to Congress and senators, my friend.
Okay, that's what I'm in the middle of doing. I just printed off those letters, and I'm getting ready to mail them out certified. So.
Yeah, letter and all the attachments also. The video you need to put in on a DVD for them to get it that way, you know, what it is. Okay?
Yeah, I have your YouTube where you plan how to do that.
Very good. Do a bands of the report, all that stuff. Good job. Do that, my
yeah.
friend, okay? And meanwhile, when I get a chance, that's one of the things I want to do. I'm going to put just something that people can plug it easily and do this process more thoroughly, you know, contact your congressman. And then, after doing that, on the withholding issue, you can take a proper action. Okay?
Yes, I would love to. And I'm trying to educate everybody at work since they're switching. It's a government job, though, so that's for the county, so. But I'd love to educate them so that they knew whether they could do it or not.
I understand.
Okay, that's what I have. So that's what I'm getting ready to do, and I thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome. My pleasure, Christopher. Does anybody else have any questions? If so, please push 1 on your telephone keypad. That will let me know that you have a question. And I will take your question if you have any last ones. Anybody with any questions? Okay, folks, thank you for listening to Freedom Law School's Commerce Call. Be sure on YouTube channel, check out our Commerce Calls on blogtalkradio.com. We have more of our Commerce Calls there, okay, the previous calls that may have the answers you're looking for. Tell your friends about Freedom Law School. Educate your family members. I'll be back with you, folks, next Thursday night. Good night, everybody.